Hey everyone, welcome back. It's We Watch Stuff number 24. We Watch Stuff Furious 7. Just forget it. That's all we're going to talk about this week. Shahid's joining me, and we couldn't wait to actually do this show, even though we had to. So, initial impressions. What'd you think of the Furious 7?
Well, I saw it twice. Yeah. First time was Thursday. Actually, the second show playing, they were having a marathon the whole day. Good as day as any. So I went there, and it was a full house full of Fast 7 fans. And I will say it was definitely probably one of the most ridiculously awesome movies I've seen. Just insane.
This is a hard movie to describe. I know we've always joked about these, like, well, not really joking, but I always made the point of saying they've turned these into superhero movies. This one, and even that article you sent me, this one literally turned them into superheroes. And if the parallel between Superman and Vin Diesel's Dom wasn't any more clear, I don't know how it could be. And then the Batman, you know, Paul Walker, Wonder Woman's Michelle Rodriguez. I still have a hard time with the other two, who they'd be, but because they even made a point in the movie of pointing out like who everybody was. I gotta pull the cast up because I always forget who everybody is. Let's see here. Okay, that is Tyrese Gibson. All right, I made a mistake. For some reason, I kept convincing myself that wasn't Tyrese Gibson. But everybody had their role in this one, and to a fault, there was absolutely no drama of anyone dying.
It's a kind of... it's funny, we talked about that earlier. It was like a two-edged sword. Like, one, you didn't think anybody was going to die. But the reason we knew that is because what happened during filming in the movie. And it kind of smacked in the face every time he showed up. And that's Paul Walker. Mm-hmm. Like, every time he was on camera, it was kind of like some type of reaction. And he was trying to figure out, you know, how... See, I kind of knew how they were ending the movie. I think that's my, you know, spoiler alert. Like, so I knew they wasn't going to kill them all. But if you didn't know, you were wondering, like, you know he's not going to be in the other ones. So how are they going to write him out the movie? Are they going to just let him retire? Are they going to kill him off in some dramatic scene and, like, a shocker and anything like that? So it was a few times where there's a few scenes people didn't know. They were, like, kind of like, ooh, type of sound.
Yeah, I think if there's – I enjoyed this movie immensely. Elise and I were laughing at the like just how over the top it became, and we'll get to those moments in a little bit. But I figured they weren't killing Paul Walker off. I know they said they weren't, but then you heard about the dramatic ending of Furious 7, and I'm like, are they actually going to pull the rug on people and have something happen here and go into the next movie? Well, when that. They kind of set that up throughout the movie in some of the scenes where it came to the point where Brian was in like real danger, like a car blew up. There was another part.
Yeah, let's say the car blew up part. The part when he was running up the bus, and at the end
when he was fighting Tony Jaa.
Which
is a hilarious fight to see because Tony Jaa would destroy poor Brian in a heartbeat.
Okay. See, here's the part where I got a quick aside. I was thinking about that and it was kind of hard. And it's not just him. It's all of them. Like, taking apart the whole Paul Walker fighting Tony Jaa, like, that's not a fair fight. And try to just think of, because, like, Tony Jaa is Tony Jaa. And I'm glad he's probably doing American movies. But even like in the universe of the movie, you know, Paul Walker's trained, you know, he's a trained FBI agent. So I guess he can kind of hold his own. But he's the only person you can say that against. Because like I was thinking that more, and we'll go back to what we're talking about, Vin Diesel fighting Jason Statham. like those characters or Dom fighting Deckard Shaw, because one is some guy that stole DVD players and broke some guy's face with a wrench, and the other guy is like some British Black Ops, you know, super assassin.
Yeah, that killed an entire squadron
and
whatever.
Blew up the Rock, and yet they have a one-on-one fight and like hitting each other with wrenches and they're just shaking it off.
Okay, in that one sentence that pretty much encapsulates the entire movie. That, and I even mentioned it when we were talking before. Michelle Rodriguez gets her ass handed to her by Ronda Rousey, who's the guard of the Saudi Arabian prince.
Jordanian.
That's right. They don't want to upset anybody they may get some money from for the next one. They show her. She's cut up, she's scarred, she's bruised. The next time you see her, perfect skin. Nothing's wrong with her. And I know some time passed in between these fights and that, but oh my goodness.
How much time passed through that movie? Because
I would say 3 days.
Okay. Now, if Michelle Rodriguez is a superhero, The Rock's the damn Terminator. So he broke his leg in two places, broken collarbone.
No, his arm, his legs were fine.
Everything like that. Okay. 2 days later, he's watching the news. I'm going to flex off the cast.
Yeah, all right. Let's just start from the beginning with this ridiculousness. Let's go there. The Rock and I didn't even recognize her, but Alina.
Yeah.
She had her hair short and blonde. It's like,
Short blonde sweat. You know, it was short, it was blonde, and it was goofy.
Yeah, it really was kind of. She was a little bit unrecognizable. She comes in, and you're like, okay. And, you know, they explain, like, what's going on and all that stuff. Rock, of course, Hobbs can't show any sort of emotion or whatever. Hands her her letter of recommendation for what? We have no idea. They don't even bother explaining. And then he goes back upstairs, and him and Jason Statham just start fighting. Why? Because why the hell not? That, I mean...
Because of course they have to fight.
Yeah, in a fist fight on top of that, which was fun. But then, and something that Jason Statham does throughout this entire movie, Statham was kind of a bitch in this movie. Because whenever he got in trouble, he just started throwing grenades.
Okay. Well, in his defense, and like you say, he's about business. He's not playing games. This ain't a street fight. And we got to start how the movie begins if we're going to go that route.
Okay.
The first reveal is that his brother didn't die in the movie.
Okay. What happened to Owen Shaw at the end of the... I couldn't remember.
He flew out the plane.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. I thought so. I thought that was a very demonstrative way of killing off the bad guy. And it didn't even occur to me he could possibly have survived. Because what's her name? Giselle. She fell off of a wing and died. So how the hell is that going?
She got shot with a harpoon gun, but she also flew off the plane and died too.
Yeah.
Stop, drop, and roll, Jeremy.
I guess. Yeah, well, apparently he did. And it just kept on a rolling because he was hooked up to a breathing tube. Pretty much catatonic.
Burn face, perfect hair.
Yes. The best part, though, was the two nurses come in and they set you up that, you know what? All right, he's just about business. Statham says, "Take care of my. If you two don't take care of my brother, I'll be back for you." And you're like, okay, that's what bad guys do. And then he walks out of a hospital that he's killed almost everyone, blew up or shot holes in everything. Half of it's on fire, and then the front entrance falls down.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I'm like, I guess he's thinking, well, I didn't blow up this one room, so they'll be okay. They get transport. Like, if you want them to take care of your brother, maybe you should blow up the whole damn hospital.
Maybe if you want him to take care of your brother, you wouldn't blow the hospital up at all. Mm-hmm. because now they're going to have to transfer him, which is going to cause, you know, possibly some trauma to the body. But it was just, I understand that they were making a point of this guy's for real. This guy, and it's Statham. He's not just going to show up and be like, I'm going to get you. I never for one second didn't think that's Jason Statham, you know, just like all his other movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I that's not. And I want to preface everything I say with this: unless I openly say I didn't like this, none of what I'm saying is a complaint. This is the most utter ridiculous movie I've seen, and a straight-faced movie I've seen in a long time. Because there is not a hint of irony. Or there's no wink nod to the screen. Not one time.
And thank God for that. Because and it's fine, I was reading the reviews, and for the most part, people finally get what they're trying to do. And it's no longer described as, like, you know, it's this stupid, bad movie that's fun. No, it's just a fun movie. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. And they know what they are, they know what they do. They do it well, and the next movie they figure out, let's do it better. I was amazed. I sent you that link, like reading the stunts. I know they said after the fourth one, they said they used too much CGI, and they realized they got criticism for it, so we're going to up the realism. Yeah. It's funny how this, hearing that and then seeing, like, you know, they actually filmed them dragging around a safe, you know, you laugh about that. I choreographed the tank fight.
I did like how that was referenced in the movie too. We fought a tank, we fought a plane, which I didn't remember. Oh yeah, the plane, duh. And now we're fighting a helicopter. Mm-hmm. And now what's next? A spaceship.
Yeah. And then they actually, when we get that scene, we'll talk about it. But the fact they actually practiced that scene and did that scene, like really did it, just shows like they take their work seriously. And I guess it would go to the point of the director being different. Did you notice any difference?
Oh yeah, I thought this was shot totally different than the last one.
Yeah, because I noticed it with not the action scenes, because the action was fine. It was the little jump cut scenes, because I'm used to that watching him in Insidious. And that's what reminded me of, like, how the camera would, like, jump from here to here. It was like a little, and it'd be like stop cut, you know. It's hard to describe it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like, no. Yeah, it's there's a definite difference. The stamp is totally separate. And one thing I noticed was during the action scenes, they played with camera angles and the juxtaposition of the shot too. One of the Stark ones, he liked to rotate the camera with one of the players in the fight. So if, you know, Vin Diesel punches and Jason Statham rolls backwards, the camera was rolling with Statham.
Yeah.
You know,
I first noticed that when The Rock was fighting Jason Statham. Like he wants you to see that action, but kind of like the view from like a different perspective to kind of keep it from being boring, which works because you need too much action and you don't add any pizzazz to it. It's going, no matter how good the action is, it's going to be boring. But yeah, that scene basically sets up what type of villain Jason Statham is going to be. And I know we'll talk about it. That whole storyline was ridiculous. And him just popping up like the British Terminator out of nowhere, each scene kind of defeated the whole point of the damn story.
Yeah, yes. All right. Basically, they have a very shallow story about their hunt. We can't skip this part because I actually felt bad for this guy. They finally tie in all the movies together. And we get the scene with Statham talking to Dom, saying blah blah blah, and you see Han die again. So Vin Diesel hops on a plane to Japan, and poor Lucas Black is in this movie for 5 minutes, and that may be generous.
No, a minute and a half total.
But, yes, but it did get what's his name? Little Bow Wow, what the hell was his name?
Yeah, Bow Wow.
He got to be in the movie. Because they did show him briefly. So he actually has been in another one now.
If archive footage counts as an appearance, yes, he has.
Yes, he did. And the girlfriend. Yeah. But it was funny watching that footage, and then they show him and Dom talking, and I just turned to Elise and was like, someone aged really quick in between scenes.
And it wasn't Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, on a side note, is he getting Botox or something?
Okay.
Because there were some scenes where his head looked like there was another forehead there.
You know what it is? If you watch, and I definitely noticed it when they show clips from the older movies. He used to be like lean, and he used to be like big but lean. He had a thin face. And now he's got a fat face and a big body. That's basically what it is. And that notes that from Fast Five on, you kind of notice that like his head is just humongous. And it's got a fat face.
Well, yeah, because I figure that's because of the presence of The Rock. He can't be, we'll get back to the Tokyo Drift in a second, but how much bigger was The Rock in this movie? So you have to figure Vin Diesel was like, all right, I'm going to look like a munchkin next to this guy. I don't know what Rock was filming in between his brief moments on this. He looked like a monster in this movie.
Yeah, it doesn't help. Like, I work for the government, so I know about dress code. But I didn't know any government organizations where Under Armour was the official clothing line for service. And it's always hilarious to see him in probably, like, see, I can't even say it's like a small shirt, because he's going to make anything look small, because he's just such a big man. But he's basically the damn Terminator. And it's, like, he's just so big. What was he filming?
Hercules?
Hercules? Yeah, he's doing Hercules. He had to be big for that. So, there you go.
But yeah, you have to remember, he's part of a special ops team, so he gets out, work outside of the rules.
Yeah.
I thought Lucas Black was going to have more of a role in this. I think I talked to Kevin about it, just saying, yeah, he'll probably just show up as like a flashback or something, and that'll be it. This is pretty much what it was akin to.
I forgot how his accent was, because he just came on. What you gonna do when you find him, Dom? I was like, whoosh. Like, I left it in the accent, but that's... I seen Tokyo Drift me about a month ago. But I knew his accent was thick. It was just like corn pone off the...
I just saw it on Friday because they were playing it on FX, and it wasn't that thick. So I don't know if it was like, just make sure if everyone remembers you're Southern, and you just happen to be in Tokyo.
They remember. Han said you were fast. He didn't say you was. He didn't tell me you was that damn fast.
Yeah. Do you think American Muscle couldn't? Who said American Muscle couldn't drift? Ugh, God.
I'll say this part though, like. Because I saw it twice. The first time I was like a theater full of fans. When he showed the picture of Giselle, people, like, they made this sound like this this sad sound. And that's one thing I noticed, like, the cast was kind of, like, really narrow as far as the hero side. Like, The Rock's basically in there for the beginning and the end. Jordana Brewster just chilling the whole movie. She's barely in it. No Han, no Giselle. So it's basically like a five-man team, more or less, and all like the side characters. It just felt, I think it made the movie more focused because, you can't have too many people running around and people get 30 seconds here or there. It just seemed kind of like, and then all the stuff with Paul Walker, it seemed kind of a little melancholy. That whole thing when they're at the funeral, it's like he's talking. Promise me no more funerals. And I'm just looking around, people just got this look on their face. Like, every time Paul Walker came up, they just had kind of this look.
The funeral scene is, all right, and I guess maybe this was intentional, I don't know. But even like that funeral scene where they were like, we're getting tired of going to funerals. Like, we're tired of people, one of us dying, this and that. I just kept feeling like it was just a premonition, precursor, what the hell, what am I talking about? Foreshadowing. Jesus. for what they may pull on you at the end of this.
Yeah.
And it's good. I'm glad they didn't, but I don't know. This was probably where the humanity of the movie stopped, though. And what I mean by humanity is, you know, after Han dies, they're all at the funeral, and then Dom immediately goes on a chase.
Mm-hmm. And then it's back to the less of the action thing.
Yeah, but that's literally where it ended. That's where, like, death went out the window for this movie. Unless it was killing somebody. But the idea of dying was totally lost. But we did skip over the Statham rock fight scene,
mm-hmm.
where it ends with Jason Statham throwing grenades, Rock getting blown out of a 10-story window and falling through a car.
With a woman fall on top of him.
Yeah, who weighs all of 15 pounds. I mean,
she's Brazilian, so that's probably about $135, $140. But yeah, still a 10-story building after grenade.
Blast. Yeah, but they show Rock in the hospital. He's on a machine with a broken arm, shoulder, not something. He's got an EKG machine hooked up to his chest. No IV. And he's just chilling, watching TV with his daughter.
Cracking jokes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like, Dom's all sad or whatever, all serious because of Han and this, and, you know, he sees the daughter there joke, and as soon as she's out of the room, what happened? So he just immediately turns it back on.
Okay, so quick, it's a scene we skipped, because beforehand, Dom's with Letty, and they go back to Race Wars, and they have a race in this ridiculous cameo. I don't know. Because everyone said the same thing when she showed up. Oh, pale ghost face herself, Iggy Azalea just pops up. And this is where everybody in the movie theater said, was that Iggy?
Okay, so that was Iggy Azalea?
What's she doing in here?
Like, okay.
Wow. Because it's kind of like, you know, okay. Because Fast 6 had Rita Ora do a little cameo. And I guess that's the thing. And later on in this movie, T-Pain was a DJ with no words. So they've had these cameos before. It just, what was I about to say? It was just weird between that. I know what the biggest laugh got, the first laugh, when they first showed Paul Walker revving up. You know, you see his eyes. He's revving up the car, about to go in, you know, first gear. And he's a damn minivan or a station wagon. And people laughed their ass off. Both times, both shows I saw, when I saw Thursday and Saturday. Like, this is a simple, that's just a simple, you know, 101 movie trick, but it just worked.
Yeah, I guess that they needed to, I don't know why they introduced him with, like, kind of like a slap happy comedic tone.
It fit the story, because it was kind of the whole thing, you know, he's a family man now, and he's trying to adjust with the picket fence and Mia holding him down, feeding him nasty tuna sandwiches. He misses the action. That's the whole story with him. Like, you know, I miss doing all this fun stuff, even though I know it's stupid. And kind of like growing out and realizing family's important. And
yeah,
I always laugh when we talk about that. Fast and it might be we call Family and Furious all the time. It's about damn family.
Yeah. If you didn't get it by the end of the movie that they weren't friends, they were family, I don't know what else would get across. But yeah, there were just so many little things in this that made the movie just over the top. And as soon as, especially speeding off from a funeral to go play chicken with a, what's it, fortified. What was he driving?
He was driving
Mercedes.
No, I had looked it up too. It was like an Aston Martin.
Okay.
He had like two or three wherever he had like two or three different cars. So I guess, you know, he's just an international criminal that's never can pop up anywhere in the world and have a $200,000 and no one noticed.
Yeah, no one notices a guy paying cash for a car. Or like that much, or maybe, you know, maybe they he just stole it and they cut it out.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I stole.
But the one thing with this scene, and it goes for every car scene in the movie, nobody wears a seatbelt, but yet nobody goes flying through a windshield or suffers a concussion.
Didn't the airbag pop up on one of them?
If it did, they probably wanted to cut away from it lickety-split so that you didn't see that they needed protection.
I just had to stop myself. Dominic Toretto ain't driving enough with a damn airbag.
I
don't even know why I even asked that.
No, I seriously think an airbag did pop in one scene. And I think it might have been that one. Because I don't know why he would have an airbag in a custom car like that, but you know, maybe he's all about getting street legal now. So it has to have an airbag.
Yeah, and hearing him talk trash like, "Oh, you reinforce your car." That's like bringing loaded gloves in the ring. Jason Statham looking at like, "What the hell are you talking about? Come out here and play. You almost killed my brother. You talking about fair fight, dog?"
Yeah, it's like, shut your damn mouth. He's like, "I'm just gonna throw some more grenades at you." So, but this led to I was very happy when he arrived. Kurt Russell shows up as Mr. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have the decency to give him a name. Just don't worry about me. I'm kind of a character. I'm kind of an important character in this movie, but not so much that I need to have an actual cast name.
Okay, about that. Do you get the feeling? I kind of got this feeling like watching it the second time. Like when he first agreed, it was going to be like a little small role, and then they expanded it after Paul Walker died. Because he seemed to be in that movie a lot more than I thought he was going to be. Like, he did a lot in that movie for, like, what little he was, the time he was in.
I don't know. It didn't seem forced. I mean,
like, no, it felt natural. It just felt, you know, this. And it was two parts. One, that part, and then the second part. And they played it so slickly because they played on old movie tropes. You just assume, okay, I got this ridiculous plan. And as soon as I get what I want, I'm going to turn on you.
That was so refreshing that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because that would have been, like when Jason Statham said something about, "I've got friends" or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was expecting him to show up, or I was expecting him, once he handed him the God's Eye, for him to turn there. I was very pleased. And I just liked that his Mr. Nobody character just had an answer for everything.
Yeah, he's straightforward.
Much like everybody else in this movie has an answer for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, we're already at 30 minutes. We could easily go 3 hours on this. So in the interest of, you know, keeping this clean, or keeping this, you know, timely, you can go see the rest of the movie for yourself. But there are just some, the ridiculousness that, why would this government official have all those souped up cars?
Let's talk about the whole plot of the movie. Me too, this whole plan. So this plan is, you know, he gets Dom in his game because they want to get this hacker that has, you know, ties to this technology. It's like basically the, you know, the Batman technology from the Dark Knight on steroids, and they can use it to find...
No. It was on steroids. A lot of steroids.
Yes, I'm sorry, a lot of steroids.
A lot of steroids. That's made very clear in the movie.
And the point was, you know, the government's going to authorize this old ex-car thief to experimental technology to find this British super assassin and hunt him down with no problem after they find it. Because, and this makes me hilarious. Now, like, why don't I just let him come to me? And they're making like, well, you know, he's already killed your friend. He blew up your house, almost killed you. How's that working? Yet, as soon as the plan is implemented, everywhere Dom shows up, who's just riding around? Who's on this inaccessible road that somebody had to do a Mission Impossible trip to get on? Oh, it's Jason Statham. Who's at this exclusive party in Abu Dhabi?
That they had to, like, get passes for to get in.
Yeah, that nobody knew about. Oh, it's Jason Statham with a nice suit.
So I started laughing when Statham showed up on the impossible-to-reach road. You've seen Tropic Thunder, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the movie where Matthew McConaughey just shows up with TiVo, he's like, "I got your fucking TiVo," and he throws it up and then uses the speed force to run through the woods. That's what I saw when I saw Jason Statham in this ridiculously appropriate vehicle to drive through the woods, not knowing what their plan was going to be. That's why I thought the Kurt Russell character was going to turn out to be a villain.
Yeah, because how else would Jason Statham know where to be at all times? If Kurt Russell wasn't telling him. And it kind of played it, like, I thought the same thing you were thinking, like, you know, he's too good to be true because he's gone. He's all friendly. You can use all this technology. I got your team. I can do this, this, and this. I got your back. And I'm like, for real? Like, it was kind of like, but it was basically straightforward.
Yeah, well, that's when he shows up on the mountainside, and even Kurt Russell just says, he's like, oh, well, look at this. Like, he was surprised. I'm like, all right, it just seemed too easy. But yeah, the plot of the movie was they do all this to get their shot at Jason Statham. When Jason Statham's like, I'm just going to show up anyways, don't worry about it. So this movie essentially doesn't have a plot, or one that makes any sense.
And it didn't make a difference. It didn't make one look a difference. Like, watching the movie, and it wasn't something I had to think about. It kind of sunk in. Like, this plan makes no damn sense, and I don't care.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't care. I didn't care about anything. Just because I pointed it out did not detract from my enjoyment of this epic vehicle. We've got Rushmore movies in this country. We've got Citizen Kane. We've got The Godfather, RoboCop, and now we're just going to add Furious 7 up there. There's nothing else. There's nothing else this country's going to produce that's going to top those. Just nothing.
Yeah. So we have to. Yeah, and I know Vin Diesel saying, "Well, if the Oscars had any sense, he'd get nominated for Best Picture." I'm like, yeah, it's good to dream. It's good to dream, and that's how he's got his career off of. Crazier things than that, but I wouldn't hold my breath. I will say this, you got to talk about that airplane car scene. I was watching, the second time I was watching with my wife, and she's watching the scene, she's like, well, how are they going to get off? Like, she's seen these movies, and she definitely enjoyed it more than she thought she would, but she's looking at me like, what, how are they going to get off the plane? I'm like, just watch, just wait, because I already seen it. Like, we seen a preview, so we know, but I saw a couple of that look that didn't know, like, okay, I know this is Fast and Furious. How did he get out the plane? And it is drove off the plane in semi-perfect formation, pop parachutes, and land on this small-ass road in the mountains with no guardrails and no problem, except for Tyrese. Because he wanted to be a chicken shit.
And they forced him out by popping his... Apparently, that must have been the emergency chute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they did that, his car was going ass end over front end.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, if that parachute, the main parachute pops, he's screwed. It's going to get immediately tangled in the parachute. Well, you know what? Don't worry about that, because you never saw his car's parachute actually pop. All you did was see him float by in the background.
That's how you saw that.
Yeah, that it's just so absurd. Like, and that was their master plan. And that's why I was joking about the time of this movie. Like, the days? That plan seemed like that should have taken a long time to come to fruition.
Okay. Yeah. Here's the thing about them. Half the time, it just seemed like they're just winging stuff. It's kind of like, you know, we don't got a plan. We just do what we do best and just throw stuff against the wall and somehow work. But then the other time, it's like they're just this, like you saw when they landed on the highway. And then, you know, they start getting shot at. No, you know, no problem. Ludacris moves to the front. They're in perfect formation going back and forth against the road. Like, they've been playing, like, they've been doing this their whole lives. Now, I know they're friends, and I know they're family, and I know they're just, like, natural street racers. I've never seen them practice where it's, like, no tactical driving formations. Like, you know, just in case we got to do this again.
Yes. I they were, like, getting formation, and I'm like, what are you, huh? And it's just perfectly doing this. And they didn't. They made a point of saying the one car later in the movie is bulletproof. But, and maybe I don't understand physics, but when a bullet goes through a windshield, doesn't it go through whatever's behind that windshield as well?
Yes, but that's why.
You know what? This movie.
Yeah.
Nope.
You know, I gotta laugh because I was thinking about that when they pulled out the big guns on the side of the truck, and Ludacris looks at it and he rolls his window up like that's gonna make a difference.
Well, no, he did. He did have a bulletproof car.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
but then,
remember they put him in front, and it was all the bullets were basically bouncing off.
And then the second gun was like armor piercing, but they didn't know that. Like, okay, these are armor piercing bullets.
Okay, so we'll go back to what I just got done saying, though. They're armor piercing bullets going through the armor that don't hit anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You just throw your hands up and go, I'm just going to sit back and watch this because no one cares. Why should I? Just enjoy just the ridiculous stunt work that's involved in these movies.
Because it's. I think people take that for granted, and I call it the Marvel effect, where you see all this exciting stuff, and you realize, you know, it's mostly green screen. And like, it's some, you know, actual stuff, but it's green screen computer. Because, you know, you can't really have an Iron Man suit functionally work, so that's understandable.
Yeah.
So you kind of get, you know, jaded a little bit, or get used to it. So when you see movies pull out these stunts, and a lot of them are practical, and it's like, I talk to you all the time, like, this stuff's amazing. Like, the stuff they pull off. And, like, even how ridiculous it looks, it always seemed like it's something that they could really... 90% of the stuff seemed like something that could really happen because they just film it so well. And they let you see exactly what's going on. It's not a lot of, you know, quick Liam Neeson jump cuts to high stuff. So, and that first fight with Paul Walker, Tony... I love Tony Jaa because he spoke one line of English. The rest of the time, he's just there frowning his face up, barking at everybody and Ty. And I just like him because, one, he's super talented. Two, he was doing all that, you know, his thing was, I'm doing this real stuff. I'm not doing, you know, CGI ropes. I'm doing the real stuff. And three, he just got this look like he's half crazy. He's got that crazy gene.
Yeah.
And, just
his one line was, too slow.
Mm-hmm.
Which comes back to bite him in the ass later in the movie.
Yeah.
But we never saw him die.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, I know he seemed to have met a very untimely demise, but we never saw it. Just like we never saw Owen Shaw, apparently. Wait a minute. Am I getting the, I want to make sure I got the name right. Yeah, Owen Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
So, because apparently the Shaw brothers are indestructible as well.
Yeah, we'll get to that part. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm glad that's the case. Just in case, you know, because one of the things about the Fast and Furious movies has been the villains have kind of been average beside the first one, the fifth one, and like from the first one, the villain was good. The second, third, and fourth was like, you know. The fifth one was decent, unless, you know, depending on how you feel about it, The Rock really the villain, and the other guy was okay. And the sixth one was fine. The seventh one had two good villains. Well, one good one and one that was doing stuff. But I'm glad they let them live, just in case for another movie to run back. How that happened defies most logic, but I'm glad it happened.
Yeah.
And that bus scene... You know, the bus slides. Now, I know they were going a certain speed, but friction, I know how friction works. That bus must have slid about, you know, what, 500 yards? And it just slides. He hits the button. He goes out the window. He almost slips because the guy that was driving almost falls on him.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I saw, you know, when he hit the button, he looks down, and all of a sudden, the guy's body falls out. It's like, wow, that's pretty... For these movies, that was pretty graphic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially when they show him hitting the mountain on the way down, which was totally unnecessary. Like, the guy was already shot in the head. You really need to rub it in. And really, this guy's just driving the bus.
He's doing his job. So, and then he climbs on the bus, and the bus starts to tilt. He's running in these uncomfortable ass Converse, and I was just laughing like, these things look cool, but I have no give whatsoever. He's running, and we knew what happened because we saw the preview for it. He's running, and he's running up the bus, and then also you see Michelle Rodriguez like, okay, I know exactly what to do. It's me.
Okay. Yes, it just. How did she know he would be running on the back of the bus when it's falling and like no to power slide? It's like, and then didn't she have some like little shitty thing to say to him, like hurry up or
no, like are you good?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
We saw that scene. People clapped when he landed on the car. And they laughed the ass off when she said, are you good? Because it was like, oh, this is something we do every day. Like I said, this Marvel presents Fast and Furious. Like, oh, this Batman. Like, and I miss doing this. Oh, I know I'm going to run and jump and hope for the best because my family got my back.
Well, and that was the thing. If he wouldn't have, if the car wouldn't have been there, he probably would have landed just fine, right?
No, he would have probably... He would have landed face first on that cliff. Like, it's not like he landed on the roof of the car. He grabbed the end of the car. And the car was, like, at the edge of the cliff. So momentum, he probably at least hit. The fact that we're arguing this is ridiculous, but he probably would have hit stomach. He probably would have hit, like, at the very least, stomach first.
Yeah, but I figured he would have pulled out something out of the... You know, batarang or something, tied around the tree and pulled himself out of danger. He would have been fine. So,
and then the whole okay, it's two part off this cliff with Vin Diesel. For one, they get the girl played by Game of Thrones, Natalie Emanuel. I did not know she looked like that. But I guess that's what happened when you wear slave clothes on that show, and then you get to wear real clothes.
Did you not watch Game of Thrones?
Yes, I watched Game of Thrones. And I know what she looks like.
Okay.
She was never looking like, I'm talking about body wise, she was never looking like that on Game of Thrones. And Game of Thrones shows everything. So, yeah, when they got the beat scene, people was like, audible, damn, like loud. She got off the beach and I couldn't blame her.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so wait. Because you mentioned the beach scene and all this stuff. So at the end of... Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I jumped totally over the most ridiculous scene in the movie. Never mind. Go ahead.
When they're in the car with Vin Diesel... Okay, it's two parts where we're just like... The first time when they're racing with Jason Statham. And they both drive off the cliff. And this car behind them is twirling. And they just turn off the sound. I think you hear a bird. You see Vin Diesel's face. Like, he's focused. You see her face like she's in a damn band. And I don't know what it was. It was the most ridiculous thing I saw. And everybody started laughing like, this is just Looney Tunes crazy. Like, I just lost it. Because it was just so sublime. This girl just got kidnapped. And now she gets saved by this old meathead lunatic that just drove off a cliff. And she's just looking around like, oh, look at the clouds. And then they drive away. They think they're safe to get cornered. You know, Digimon Hansu comes out like Darth Vader talking his trash. You know, oh, I admire your skill. You caused me all these problems. You let the girl go. I let you go. I'm like, yeah. So then he does the guy with Kurt Russell talking that trash. Like, she's like a deer in the headlights. What are you going to do? And Kurt Russell's like, he's no deer. Like, come on, Dom. So Dom's doing the whole thing with the smoke screen. With all this dust. Jason Statham was just running down the mountain, putting together a sniper rifle at full speed, sets himself up. And then, how do you get out of something? You know, I know they say I want my car reinforced. And I saw Lone Survivor, so I saw this happen with Body before, Pray Less Than Short. He drove off a damn cliff.
No. He went in reverse off of the cliff.
He went forward. He turned the car to go forward.
Oh, that's right. It was forward, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he was reversed when they pulled him over, and then he spun the car to point forward. She's like, you pointed the wrong way. And he's like, am I? And then just drove off the damn cliff.
Yeah, see, when he started spinning and kicking up rocks and all that so they couldn't see, I figured, all right, he's just going to try and blast his way through, like knock two of the cars out of the way. Like you could reasonably, and if that didn't work, then just throw yourself off the side of a mountain. when they went backwards, I just thought, all right, he's got a parachute or something, right? Like, that's what's going to happen. No. He just had a really strong roll cage.
Yeah. I need a car. Like I said, I need a car like that.
Do you understand the company that makes those roll cages? If they exist, which they don't, but if they existed, they should have had their name, company name, plastered all over that stuff. Because there was so much product placement in this movie. Like, they kept saying Belgian ale. And I kept thinking, what Belgian ale couldn't they get the sponsorship for? Actually, I'm going to look that up right now. Like, what's the first one that pops up? Nothing good. So maybe that's why.
Yeah, you couldn't think of one. So neither could have.
Hey, can you turn that mic? Uh-oh.
So.
Hey, can you hear me? Sorry to do this. All right, so it says my speakers are on mute, which doesn't make any sense because they're not. So
they survive that, and then she wakes up. No, breaks down the whole team in 1 minute. Like, you know, all right, I can trust you guys. You know, this military guy, cause I saw you fight. This is the tech guy, cause I saw that comment he made about, got angry about that. This is the alpha male. This is the queen alpha. This is the Joker. Know it. And you guys stick together either through fear or loyalty, and I don't see a drop of fear in you. Just like that, you know, the entire team.
Yeah, but before that, though, or even during this, so he rolls down the mountain. They end up at the scenic lake off of said mountain, and no one's looking for him, so they can take a breather.
Yeah, I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
They got picked up and was in some safe house somewhere. I'm like, no, they didn't go that far. They just probably drove to, like, you know, some, like, George Clooney's vacation house in Azerbaijan next to Russia.
Yeah, they just said that. All right, was that a made-up country, by the way?
No, that's a country.
Really?
That is a country, and that's a real area, yes. They don't need to make up, like I said, they are international, you know, Superman. They don't need to make up nothing.
Yeah, I as soon as they showed that country, I was like, that's a fake country. That's a total fake country. But, all right, so it shows you what I know. But yeah, I just got a kick out of that. But yeah, so first they get a breather. Then she, like, dissects them immediately. And then thirdly, they go, well, looks like we're going to Saudi Arabia or Jordan, wherever they were going.
Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, Abu Dhabi, that was it.
Yeah, beautiful place. So.
And then they just show up. Like,
they have planes?
Well, yeah, but it's, I'm just thinking, how did they get out of where they were? How did they go over to Kurt Russell and say, we need to go here? It was like,
didn't you hear Kurt Russell say, I'll meet you at the pickup spot beforehand when they said, you know, right before the mission started, like, I hope you can pull this off, and da-da-da. You're like, all right, I'll meet you at the spot. So, there you go. So, okay. They're on the plane and talking about, you know, I missed the bullets and everything like that. And Mr. Boyce, you know, the bravest thing you ever did? Taking care of my sister and being a good dad to my nephew. Mm-hmm. That's Cal. All this stuff. And he kind of looking like, yeah. If I miss that. Like, he got that look like,
yeah,
but that was cool though.
Okay, that was one of those scenes. Like, they show up in the sweet cars and all that stuff. Like, just for no reason, they just show up in sweet cars. They get all dressed to the nines because they had to. But that was the first scene where you could tell they filmed that after Paul Walker was gone. Because if you notice how they did the shot, he's never in one of them. He's purposely cut out of this. So when they go to them standing on the beach looking out and they're saying something, they turn to him. He's clearly not standing near any of them. He has one line and just very calmly just looks forward again. Like a hologram just appeared. That was spooky.
Yeah, I was trying to wonder when it was him and when it wasn't. But then I'm like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Let me just, well, you know, like it definitely popped. I definitely popped up at the end. like that part right there, because it was just so like
when they're in the cars.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was definitely.
Yeah, that's when I noticed. But the rest of the time, I wasn't really looking for it, so I didn't probably stick out. So anyway, they get the album down because, you know, she melted away. Because that's smart. And, oh, I thought you were going to take care of us, so I sold it. I'm like, what kind of friend is that?
Well, when he said, but in that line, that profession, if you want to put it that way, and like her career choice, and she says take care of it, well, I kind of agree with the guy.
Okay, well, you know? Let me put this way. If I ever mail you something to say hold this, that don't mean sell it to Eric.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're not a hacker who's doing criminal activity.
As far as you know, that is correct.
Well, you are. Just because you got a degree for drug dealing doesn't mean it's illegal.
So they get the Abu Dhabi, they get to throw on the nice clothes, they're in this beautiful party, and okay, I've never really been in the cars like that. This scene coming up is where I first, like, I get it. When they go in and they're describing this supercar, I'm like, hey, yeah. They show the car. And the time when we fit it, it seemed like if Kate Upton just flashed everybody, like, everybody was like, ooh, like this long ooh sound. I was looking at it like, that's, like, just looking, like, that's a gorgeous car. Like, I get it, man. Why people spend that, you know, that amount of money for something like that. And it is describing, you know, this. And they just pissed, like, you got a car like this, and you got it locked up. I'm going to punch this dude in the face.
You don't cage the beast. Here's the thing about this scene. There's a lot of moving parts, and this is like pretty much one of those classic, you know, crime caper things. These guys are doing this guy's doing this, and whatever else, and everything's just subterfuge or, you know, misdirection for the real crime going on. I don't know what kind of car that was. They said it. I forgot what it was. Does the car weigh 200 pounds or something? Because Vin Diesel just picks the car up and holds it for a long time.
Yeah. Now, I know he's strong, but that car can be that light because, one, it's a sports car. It's bulletproof. So it's going to make it heavy anyway.
You would think, yes.
But we're talking about Dominic Toretto. That's why he has two chins. That actually
and two foreheads. He's got the orbital bones the size of a bucket.
Yeah, so, but he was training because they made a joke like, got this? He's like, hurry up. So,
yeah, I did appreciate that part. I was like, okay, at least they're acknowledging the fact that this grown man is picking up a full-on car. And not just a little bit. Enough for a grown man to slide underneath it.
Mm-hmm. So that's going on. Meanwhile, you know, Ludacris and the girls doing the hacking thing. Tyrese is just, it's funny knowing that Tyrese would start off as a singer just butchering the Happy Birthday song, acting like a jackass. It's just funny on so many levels. And Michelle Rodriguez doing her thing. And then all of a sudden, Ronda Rousey and the, you know, the Muslim Crimson Guard is coming. Like, they got these three, you know, like, fighting in unison. And before that, they was like, well, you know, you think I, would you believe I knocked them out with my charm? And she like, you ain't that charming bitch. And I was watching it, and they was like, oh, shit. So that's the good thing about watching a movie with a crowd that likes it. Because they followed the movie, and it's like, oh, shit's about to be on. So they had to fight. And the first part, she's just watching. Like, she's not even, like, she's just sitting there just glaring the whole time. You know, Michelle holding her own, fighting these three highly trained girls. And then it's on, and they fight in party dresses in the hills.
Yeah.
And they fight. Not this old cat fight, I scratch your face type, every hair fight. No, I'm throwing you a spinning arm bar. I'm kneeing you in, you know, in your ovaries. Fight.
Yeah, and it was a dirty fight, and Michelle Rodriguez got her ass handed to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part I mentioned at the beginning of the show. They showed her all cut up and bloody, bruised up in this, and the next time you see her, not a scratch, but whatever.
Like, they fall, like, yeah, she was fighting, she was getting her ass beat, she was fighting dirty and still losing. The only reason they're fighting is they both fell through a DJ table. So And then who shows up? Oh, it's the Terminator, Jason Statham. Just machine gunning the roof, like, here I am. And then, of course, they get in the car. So we're watching it. They chase out. They drive. And it's funny because they jump back to that line, like, when Paul Walker with his kids, and the kid threw the car off the truck. He's like, you know, cars don't fly. So, of course, what does Paul Walker say? Cars don't fly.
Okay, can we slow down for a second, though? Because they have a bulletproof car, right?
Yeah.
They're inside of a contained area where Jason Statham is, and all they have to do is hit him with the car.
They hit him once.
Oh, but not hard enough, so you just do it again.
Okay, well, they were probably going to do that until they realized, well, it might be bulletproof, but it's not grenade launcher proof.
Yeah. Yeah,
when that's what he ran.
And that's where, this is where the movie just goes. If you saw, and this is the part, I actually read this part, and I was disappointed. I had no idea it was going through three buildings. When they show the preview, it looked like it just went from one to the other, and I'm like, okay, that's pretty goofy. But when I read that, I was like, oh no, that would have been such a surprise. Because, and of course, the second building is abandoned, and well, at least that floor is, and of course the abandoned room has somebody walking through the trash can for no reason whatsoever. It's clearly nothing's going on up there.
Hey, maintenance party all the time. So of course that happens, and the brakes are out. So, well, if I can't stop, I guess I'll keep going and drive through this other building, because we still got to get this magic jump drive. Which, what was the point? I don't even want to ask. I was going to say, what's the point of this jump drive helping this car out? Who cares?
Oh, yeah. I have no clue. I guess because it was so technologically advanced, it needed a higher powered hard drive?
Do what?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, he's a rich guy that wants it. That's what rich people do. He probably sold, maybe like it's a monster jump drive. You know, everything they sell is overcharged anyway. How would a rich guy know? But so, of course, they go through the other building where all these, you know, priceless terracotta statues are. And I was thinking, they about to do more damage than ISIS with this scene right here. And just drove through those priceless statues. They pull it out. They both jump out the car. And the car does the fall. And of course, you always have the scene where it's people eating oblivious, and the car falls down the background, just lands in front of a hotel. And Paul Walker feels like he's in Disney World. And then he's like, you still miss the bullets? Like you having fun? All this crap we going through?
I was trying to figure this out. Why the they showed the car fall all the way to the ground. I was trying to figure out what the symbolism there. But I
guess they want to show the car bounce.
I don't. Yeah, I guess just to drive it home that they fucked this car up.
Yeah. Wish the guy made his big joke about, like, I invite you to this party, and you break this party, you steal his car, and drive it through two buildings. Paul Walker, like, actually drove through three. Like, oh, well, two is a disaster, three's an accomplishment. Some line he said. That was just so, like, smart. I like being perfect. Like, oh, my bad, you didn't drive through two buildings. You drove through three. That makes this so much better.
Yeah, and then they kind of fast forward the movie from there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get into a shot, you do this. Kurt Russell gets shot, but he'd already called. Like, his team gets wiped out, but they've already called in, like, the medic for him. And then for some reason they say, we're going to fight him on our home turf.
Yeah, we don't need guns. We gonna use the streets of LA. Like I'd rather have a gun.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was like, no, guess what? You do need the guns. Even though when one of the good guys finally got a gun, he couldn't shoot straight for the hell of it. But this led to, And really, if there's a complaint for this movie, it was there wasn't enough Hobbs in it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have Hobbs in it more, Jason Statham's dead within the first 5 minutes of him being around.
And I was thinking that too, because it was kind of... And I was thinking about the cast wise, like, I know he wasn't in the movie because he had a lot of time because he was filming something. He didn't know he was going to be in this one because of time constraints, but he was able to squeeze in.
Yeah.
And it fit because, you know, he showed him again and showed him in. And, you know, Giselle not being in there, she's kind of, it's hard for her character and Michelle Rodriguez to be in the same movie because they basically, well, not do the same thing exactly, but almost like the same type of person. Mm-hmm. And it went, so they took out a lot of redundancy in the movie. But it's just hilarious. Like, they jumped to that part after, you know, Kurt Russell puts on his magic glasses, shoots like seven people. Then, you know, he gets shot in the, you know, he gets shot and then he'll slow mo. And then he winks, they get shot again. So you think, oh, he's going to die. Oh, no, I had on this magic vest. Like, I hit in the side. But don't worry, my helicopter coming to get me. So I'll be all right.
And then they just leave him in the desert for a helicopter to come pick him up. In the deserts outside of Abu Dhabi, an American helicopter just flies in to pick him up.
That's how he rolled. He go ahead and get it there.
So the big fight in Los Angeles starts for, and I was a little lost on part of it, but what it comes down to is the big bad shows up with a friend, Digimon Hanzeus, and his helicopter of glory, basically, with a pretty awesome drone spaceship.
Oh, that was awesome.
Okay. This is where you just give up trying to figure out where, like, the American government would be.
They were on their way.
They were 3 minutes out, 15 minutes into a Black Hawk helicopter, whatever kind of helicopter that was, flying low over the streets of Los Angeles.
With a damn drone in down in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I understand she was trying to hack into whatever, okay? I know that they knocked out part of the signal.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell was Brian, Paul Walker, whatever, how was his character's cell phone supposed to reestablish that link?
Because they went and found another satellite signal to use, like another tower. And once you, like, you know, these USB cords are just magic. Like, I just take my little, you know, Galaxy Note 2 with a USB cord. I can just plug it in some random port with this satellite dish. And it's capable to, you know, do her magic. Look, we talking about a movie where, hold up, we talking about a movie where Ludacris and Too Fast, Too Furious, all he was just some guy that used to drive out of injury. He owned an expensive shop and he organized races. You jump to Fast Five and he's this tech wizard that knows everything about everything engineer-wise. He can tell you the kind of a safe and alley right off. I had a life before I met you. Let's leave it at that. So that's the logic we're using. I'm not asking any questions.
Okay. Because Elise tried to explain it. She's like, well, he did that. I'm like, no, I understand he had to plug his cell phone in, but that didn't mean the network should come back up at all. So unless we're both missing something, yeah, I'll let it go.
Okay. Wi-Fi network or whatever. I'm like, yeah. They just run around playing chicken, and it's just 20 minutes of Digimon Hatsu, like, Monster drone. Fire.
Yeah. He got to play Captain Kirk for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah. Wait,
what do you mean they didn't die? Do this.
But yeah. They blow up one of the satellite towers or whatever. And then The Rock sees it from his hospital bed. The Rock, who is in the hospital because he has a broken arm?
Broken collarbone and broken leg in two places.
Okay.
Among other things.
All right, so they're trying to say he had a broken leg? I missed that part.
He had both, yes.
Okay.
So he broke his leg in two places and, like, broke his collarbone.
Okay, I totally missed that part. Now, if he has a broken collarbone, that explains him shifting his shoulder a little bit after saying the greatest line in this movie up until a little bit later. Where he just breaks out of the cast and says, there he goes, Daddy's got to go to work. Flexes, and even though you saw it in the preview, you knew it was coming. It was still awesome.
Everybody clapped in my theater. They start cheering and clapping, like, and he just strapping on and putting the guns up, cracking his knuckles. Takes about, he can deal with the pain. He took 3 extra faint Tylenols.
Yeah. But then also, he didn't have an IV still. He didn't have anything hooked up to him. So what's he in the hospital for?
He's taking all his medicine by pills. He don't even know. He's something up like, you know, Elena's going to be here. Yeah, bring you some food. Let me get the 3 bumps. Up, down, fist bump. And it goes to work.
And boy, now, in the meantime, Dom and Deckard Shaw, Jason Statham, are chasing each other and meet on top of a parking garage. They're passing around Khaleesi's friend, Ramsey, in between cars to keep make sure that the helicopter doesn't know where she is. Which, that was some amazing. That girl got passed around between cars or on top of cars for a good 15 minutes in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then just when everything's bleak, who saves the day but old Hobbs in a stolen, it had to be stolen, ambulance.
Okay, yeah. Let's explain how he saves the day. After, you know, she got passed on twice since the last car, and the car got hit with a, you know, missile, and it's on fire. So it's about to hit one more time. The Rock takes out a drone in midair by driving an ambulance off a bridge. And then, just to make his point, gives a double tap to the drone.
He shoots the drone in the face. But here's the thing, and Elise pointed this out correctly. How did he know where they were?
He heard the sounds.
Oh, he heard the sounds? All right.
What the hell are you watching?
I mean, he gets out of the hospital. He saw the tower go get or blow up. All right, and the rest of it doesn't make any sense. But you know what? He's Shazam, so he's just gonna show up anyways. And there he is, or Captain Marvel. They're calling Shazam now, but Captain Marvel to Dom Superman. That's just how it is.
Go ahead, say the line. Say the line. He says.
And then Ramsey says to Letty. Says to him, are you bringing the cavalry? And he goes, woman, I am the cavalry. And I was like, oh my god, that's so awesome. It's like swoon.
And she's like, oh, who's that? That's Hobbs. Like, that's, you know who that is. And she goes, like,
it was, who's that? Hobbs.
Mm-hmm. And she looked around like, y'all got some amazing friends.
How do you not want to hang out with this crew? I understand you're in dangerous situations, whatever. But I mean, you've got the Incredible Hulk or whoever just takes out a drone with an ambulance, shoots it in the face, and then on top of it steals its rail gun to go fight a helicopter at the end of the fucking movie.
We
need to back that line up, actually. He's fighting a helicopter at the end of the movie with a broken arm, a broken collarbone, and 2 broken legs.
He took his extra faint Tylenol.
Yeah, 3 of them. Yes, exactly.
So, meanwhile, we'll get back to that ridiculous part later. Meanwhile, Paul Walker has his rematch with Tony Jaa. There, you know, some good stunt work and gun work. And they had another good fight. And it's funny because even though in real life, there's no way in the world that'd be a fair fight. The way they film the fight is like kind of, you know, Paul Walker is not as good as him, but he kind of hang with him. But he's still getting his ass beat.
Yeah.
More or less.
I thought that was a pretty effective use, or a pretty effective fight, actually. That's pretty much all I had, because I was surprised at how quick everything was going. It actually made me wonder if it wasn't CGI, but maybe that Brick Mansion's fighting paid off for Paul Walker finally.
I guess. Yeah, like, it's funny just thinking about, like, you know, The Rock gets to be, you know, Superman, and Dom's all cool and everything like that. Paul Walker had, like, the hard thing. Like, he had to be kind of, like, the regular guy. Even though in an average movie, he'd be the star of the movie, he was more like, you know, the sidekick, like the 1A. And he had to be, you know, funny but not too funny. He had to be cool but not too cool. You know, when he always had seen to do the... He did seem to do the most action stuff in the movies, like all the movies. Like, I remember reading about when they were doing Too Fast, Too Furious. He was doing most of the driving, like a lot of the driving stunts, and they had to spend a lot of money to insure him. You know, because you don't want your star. See, it's even hard to talk about. You don't want your star getting in a car accident.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now we know why. So it's, and it kind of sunk in here, because I think Fast Five. He kind of felt like, you know, he's in the movie, but kind of The Rock overshadows a lot. And, like, Fast 6, he was there, and they had him do stuff, but he seemed like he was, like, the important thing. This one, it's like they made a concerted effort, like, showing, like, you know, like, Dom might be the head, but he's the, you know, Paul Walker's the backbone.
Yeah.
And having him, that fight was a quick fight. And then, of course, like you said, that line, he hooked the mic, like, too slow. And
Tony John knew what was up. Shaft. Yeah, and that was, and then somehow Brian found an SUV outside. It seemed like something got cut. Mm-hmm. I was confused.
Well, I guess we'll find.
Yeah, that was pretty much the end of the Brian part. The rest of it was focused on Hobbs and Dominic.
Dom, like Jason Statham.
With
we got to talk about. Okay. Yeah, so when we talk about how these are superheroes, okay, so they had their first chicken, the first one, the beginning movie. So they do it again, and Dom, like, I learned my lesson, so I'm going to make sure my car lands on top of his car. And then as soon as they land, we pulling out our guns and you know, 2 seconds go by, no thought. I'm shooting a shotgun, I'm shooting a pistol, we get out. And then it's like the line, you know, he thought this was going to be a street fight. And he puts the gun down like an idiot. And he pulls out two wrenches.
Yeah.
And Jason Statham has two parts of his car, and they just start doing stick fighting. And the director was talking about he wanted to add this scene he thought was cool, like stick fighting. And then he's like, well, you know, I studied stick fighting for a while, so I guess we could do it. And it just makes sense. Like, how ridiculous that sounds. But we're talking about Vin Diesel. Like, this is an awesome, ridiculous man that has the unique ability of having an ultimate ego that can laugh at himself. And you know, you don't find that in a lot of people. Like, this super inflated ego, but can, you know, make fun of himself. It's usually one or the other. So they have this fight. They get hit in the face with metal wrenches, just shaking
and
it all.
No, not problem. Small ones. Those are the kind that you use on, like, heavy machinery. They were using those as weapons. It was like, he hit Statham in the head. Statham uses a piece of the broken car and hits him back. And Statham had a small cut on his forehead. And I was like, this is General Zod fighting Superman. And I just kept wondering, how is this going to end?
Yeah, and we see, like, they get punched, and, like, you talk about the camera before, but, like, they're flying, like, 3 or 4 feet from, like, these punches, getting thrown in cars, and just, I'm a little woozy, I got a little blood. Then, of course, Digimon see him, like, you know what, I got a shot. I guess we not friends anymore, like a true villain. Like, just go ahead, fire.
That's what I was confused by. Why did he all of a sudden want to blow up Statham?
He wanted Vin Diesel.
Okay, all right. That's what I thought, but I wanted to make sure on that one. And
he just didn't care Statham was there. He's like, oh, well, he's here. I guess we're not friends anymore. I'm not waiting for him to leave.
Yeah, and but the only reason he was able to do that is because The Rock couldn't understand that if you hold a railgun forward and point it at a target, one of the bazillion bullets that flies out of it would certainly hit a helicopter. It was a great visual, but boy, that was he was a poor shot with that thing.
Well, he was dealing with a broken damn leg, so
yeah, two of them.
Probably messed with the ankle.
Yeah.
No, one leg, two places.
Oh, okay. I thought that's why he was limping, not the gigantic gun he just stole off of a downed drone.
And he's firing, and then of course after Dom makes my like one thing about street fights, the street always wins. And you see Jason Statham fall 15, 20 feet, uh-huh. And then a slab of concrete falls on his legs. So
see,
and then you don't see him again. Yeah, I thought he died.
But then you have to remember who it was. Jason Statham doesn't die in his movies.
Yeah.
He just doesn't. You can't kill Statham in a movie. So he fell. I mean, it's easily explainable that, you know, that portion just fell and it kind of the pieces fell on top of each other, not on him, so he was just stuck. And then when the rest of the parking garage fell, well, you know, on top of him, that those pieces that were originally pinning him actually saved his life. And that's why he was able to be locked in the super secret underground lair by The Rock instead of just putting a bullet in his goddamn head to make sure he never comes back around.
Nah, he gotta follow the rules.
Oh.
Unless you kill a member of his team, you can wound him. You can't, like, you know. You saw what happened with Brazil. He shot the dude because he killed his team. But other than that, you know, he follows the rules. He doesn't want to. So they have that, you know, that fight's going on. And Dom like, okay, I saw this work in the transport, and I'm going to try this. So I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to drive my car. I don't know what to do. Like, I'm going to use it to hit the helicopter or, like, did he think? Like, even if it worked, what was supposed to happen that was going to be a good outcome?
I was confused. I thought he was driving. He was going to just drive the car into the helicopter, and that was going to be the end of the day, and he was sacrificing himself. Why? I don't know. I don't know why he would do that. But then, with the reveal of the bag of grenades being hooked onto a piece of metal on the helicopter that Hobbs somehow sees,
mm-hmm. and knows exactly what it is.
And he shoots the bag of grenades. Now, mind you, he couldn't hit a helicopter.
He hit it once. Let's give him credit.
Okay.
Because that's when the helicopter lost control.
With a rail gun, he got one bullet to hit a helicopter. So he's able to pull out a magnum. Is that what that was?
Yeah.
And shoots a bag of grenades with one bullet, one or two bullets.
So he shot twice. Yeah, let's give him credit. Like, you know, let's not be ridiculous. He shot twice, so it took two bullets.
It was fantastic. It's like, I don't know. I didn't see it with like the crowd you did. I think we would have had a lot more fun in that one. Our crowd was like, the girl next to me was having a great time. She didn't. I don't think the guy she was with had seen any of these movies. So she was kind of explaining stuff to him, and like when someone would show up, she'd be like, "Oh, that's who," and they'd start talking, or something happened, she'd be laughing along with it or cheering, whatever. So like even the grenades part was kind of like a, what, really, like grenades, and just the absurdity of it. And then after everything, now remember back in the beginning of this audio, we talked about him falling off of a mountain in a car.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to think that him missing the helicopter, crashing on the ground, was going to kill him. And apparently nobody knows CPR, by the way. Because that's not how you do it.
Okay. It's a two-team thing. I'm like, Hobbs should know because he's a military trainee. He didn't even bother. So one's like,
yeah, Hobbs is dead.
Yeah. And then, of course, they start doing a half-ass, and then Letty's like, stop, get off him. And Paul, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you don't compress that much that fast.
Yeah.
Without taking a break.
Yeah, I'm going to save him with love. And then it's this speech. I remember everything, including when we got married. And we were, I was like, what? Like, married? Like, you know, like, married? Like, when did this happen? Like, you know, I guess it would happen between, before Fast Forward. It just never was shown on the movies. And then they get this speech. And I, you know, now you know why the cross means so much. And if I ride, you ride. And if I die, you die. I'm not ready to die. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, all this mushy stuff. And he, like, what took you so long?
Okay, so that's where I go to where their CPR didn't do it correctly. If you have a heartbeat, you don't perform CPR.
Mm-hmm.
So what was what? Because she would have felt him breathing if that was the case. So, but whatever. Because my immediate thought was, once they get through this and she realizes that they were married and that he was banging out good old Alina in number 5, there may be some problems on the horizon.
Well, in his defense, she was dead as far as he knew, so all's well and good. It wasn't like, you know.
It didn't take him long to get over that one, then.
If something like this, if something happened to my wife and I thought she was dead, I think I would get a hall pass. Until I find her back. At least I'm hoping. So, and it's funny because
I know someone that's not in the room right now. So,
yeah, it's funny you brought that up because I remember when they were in the hospital, Dom and Elena, and you kind of looking because she was injured, and like, you're all right. And she kind of like, I don't know how they were playing that because on like she had still had residual feeling, but try to like brush it off. But then at the same time, her and Hobbs were like close, but you don't know like how close. Yeah, you know, old man's gonna come pick you up and get you cookies and like, well, yeah. All right, there's something going on with them, but you know, cause it's, they do romance, they do relationships in this movie, but it's funny with some of the characters they do and some they don't. Like I'm guessing when they do another one, like, cause the girl, you know, like we say, we call her Khaleesi Jr. She fit in. With that, she fit in like she's out. She fit in like she had been in those movies since the beginning. And her and Tyrese, I mean, her and Ludacris had a lot of chemistry. So I can see her popping up in another one if she wants to.
All right. So now you mentioned it like the next movie. We're at the end. We're almost at the end of this podcast. So let's talk about the end of the movie. I know they were going for like the sweet, like goodbye part of it.
Oh man!
But they've already had that sort of ending where they said that nothing's going to be the same, blah blah blah. So in the context of the story, it was like this doesn't make any sense. If you guys get in trouble again, why wouldn't he be around? They're going to have some explaining to do.
No, because it was kind of like, beside the fact, you know, the whole part of his thing was he got a family, and then it's like you got another kid going on the way. You got Mia. I can't be, you know. We can do this stuff because we don't got kids, more or less. You got kids, so it's time to be a dad. Because you're, you know, and then you see him on the beach, like he's enjoying. Play, like it finally sunk in at the end. Like I'm playing with my kids and my wife. I got another kid on the way. I still got all this money from Rio. I don't need to do this anymore. Like they were kind of pushing, like it's the last thing. Me, it was pushing, like, you know, go out and do this day, but this is it. It's the last time. Even though it's not the first time she said that, but it's kind of like this time, because we got another kid, and I can't find a babysitter for two, so time for them to stay home. And it was just funny. It was like kind of, you know, that part on the beach was cool, but when they drove off and then they had the light and then they doing the talking about, you know, I used to live my life this way and now I live like this because you'll always be my brother and everything. People with my movie, they were crying. Like, it was just like, I was like, oh, like, it just.
Well, and did you, all right. Now, that was another part that seemed pretty obvious. That was computer generated. But mm-hmm. I mean, it was all heavy-handed.
Yeah.
But I noticed, like, Dom was in the black car with, like, the wife beater on, and then Brian pulls up in a white car with white on. And I know that it's beachwear, but still, that was done on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do the one last little race, but instead of racing all the way through, Brian just takes his own way at the end.
Yeah.
That was a part I was like, oh, wow, that's...
Yeah.
It was pretty rough, but...
I mean, people clapped at the end, and they clapped for a little bit. I think, like I said, like, you know, it's a shame he passed, and him passing definitely had an effect on the movie, because one, like, stuff changed in the movie. Of course, you can tell how they added for it to fit the storyline, and two, it just seemed like it just gave it more weight than it normally would have had. Like, if it's just kind of like, you know, he's going to be a family man or whatever, it's like, okay, till the next one he comes in, but knowing how he passed away and knowing he's not going to be in the other movies, and then you see it, it's kind of like, yeah, like, ugh. So, but it was definitely a very enjoyable movie. And I'm glad they didn't kill off Jason Statham, because that, like, you showed me that link, that would fit if Helen Mirren gets her way and be the villain, she could be the mom.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I think it's pretty obvious just by how much money this made. There has to be another one, right?
Okay.
Because Universal can't dare allow this to go away.
Okay. You were wondering, because you say you don't follow. I don't follow like I used to. I still follow it. Like, so when I told you the number, you're like, that was the 9th biggest opening of all time.
Oh, okay. Damn.
All time. And it wasn't 3D either. So they couldn't use that as, like, you know, artificial boost. Like, you know, The Winter Soldier was the biggest April movie ever, and that made $95 million, and this made $143 million. Like worldwide, it made like three. Yeah. It's made more money domestic its first weekend than the first one made its whole time out. The second one is whole time out, and the third one is whole time out.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah. It's a monster. Like, so there's no way in the world. Like, you got, they talking about it probably like $1 billion worldwide when it's done. Because nothing else is coming out to the Avengers. And, like, people move their movies away to make sure it's not out like this. And it exceeded expectations. Like, they said it was going to be big. They figured it might be like 110 to 115. So it was like made $30 million more than people predicted. Part of it was kind of, you know, the whole thing with Paul Walker. Another part, like, people like these movies. It's, they, you know, they like them. And it's not like, you know, it's so bad, it's good. Like, no, these are well done movies. And most importantly, this series been out like 15 years. And people growing up with these characters, like, you care about the characters. That's why a movie works. Because you care about these goofy-ass people.
They've done a good job with these movies where they blur the lines. And so when they're talking about, like, family in this, they make you... I mean, and we don't know these people, so you know, and they're actors, too. So, you know, they say they're family off-screen, whatever else, and that. It could be for a show, but it's like people believe that. So they believe, like, they see a family on screen with these guys, and that translates to off screen as well. So when something like this happens, I think a lot of this may have to do with curiosity too.
Yeah.
You know, morbid or not, just curiosity nonetheless. But I don't know. I don't think this can possibly be the last one, just based on the amount of money you said it made. And I saw it made $205 million overseas already.
Yep. So, and it hasn't even been outside China or Russia yet.
Yeah.
Those are big countries.
So, yeah. So, I'm sure we'll see an 8 somewhere down the road. But I also, I mean, I've read that they were talking about spinning off Hobbs' character into his own movies.
You know, the funny thing about that... That character could have easily been like some action movie in the 90s, and you wouldn't think nothing of it. The fact that it started off with him being the villain in Fast and Furious, but he gets the coolest scenes, he get the best lines. Like, we need to talk about some lines. Like, one of them, like, you know, when I get done with him, he's going to wish his mama kept his legs closed, her legs closed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, he just always, like, it works better in that universe with the Fast and Furious universe than him doing a spinoff. And does he have time? Because I know he's got a disaster movie coming out this summer. He just started working on a Disney movie. He's got an HBO, like, he does his stuff on TNT. He's got an HBO series coming out in the fall. Then, you know, he's got to start working on DC movies. And then, he works, like, a lot. And you could tell, like, this movie, like, he was in there in the beginning, and then he was there in the end. Like, it was almost like a glorified camera. Like, Kurt Russell was in there longer than The Rock.
Yeah. He was a welcome breath, too. Mm-hmm. So they introduced enough side characters, but
they could always bring people back. Like, I know if – could they sign the guy, you know, Corn Pone, Lucas Black, for this movie plus two more?
Oh.
So if – when I use – but it's going to be hard. Like, the movie's going to feel different because you – don't try to have him replace Paul Walker. Like, no, it ain't going to work. Like, I know, like, I don't have a problem with him, but no. That's going to be hard. Like, because if you put him in a movie, you're going to compare him. And it's just going to see him out of place because everybody else has been in movies together and they fit. He's like in his own universe and he doesn't really have, you know, Han's dead, so he don't really have ties with anybody else. It's just going to seem, you know, weird. I guess we'll see, because they left Fox, you know, with both Shaws being alive, so you can always bring them back if you want. And like I said, Jason Statham was probably the best villain the series had, just being, you know, he didn't play for the laughs. He was just, you know, this British kick-ass machine. And oh, yeah. I'm sure, and it worked. Yeah, he played definitely straight. Like he should, like, you know, you assholes cripple my brother. I got time for jokes. So, and seeing Kurt Russell role, that was the role originally they wanted Denzel Washington to do. They asked him first. Remember that when they was trying to get him for that movie?
Wait, what role was he going for?
The role that Kurt Russell ended up getting. They asked Denzel to do that first, and he said no. So, which would have been, that'd have been so damn weird. I love Denzel Washington. I love his movies, but that would just seem, that would most things like.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked at all.
That just took me out the damn movie. This is Malcolm X with Dominic Toretto.
Yeah, that. Yeah, no, that wouldn't have worked whatsoever. So
he's too big a star to do like that type of cameo role. Like that, you know, kind of. He's one of the few people where, like, it would just overshadow, like, everybody. And it would have been awesome, but it would have been kind of like, it just would have seemed weird. So we'll see where they go. Like, you know, they lucked out with directors because in the wrong hand, that movie could have easily been a lot worse. Yeah. And who would have guessed we're going to get a heart, you know. I made a joke like, oh, they probably think all Asians are alike, so, okay, Justin Lin can't get it. What other Asian directors are working that's making money? And it is him, because those horror movies, whether you like them or not, they make a crap load of money. But he shot it well. The action was done well, and the movie looked how it looked. So kudos to him. And it's going to have legs, like you said before. Nothing's going to be out until the Avengers, and that's not going to be out till May.
Yeah, God, that's right. That is May, isn't it? That's it. Then, yeah, we can talk about that another time. We gone long, which hopefully people enjoyed it, and I just hope people actually have the same amount of joy with these movies. Like, I'm not a big fan of shutting your brain off and watching a movie. I have a hard time doing it. I had absolutely no problem doing it during this movie. I maybe because I knew what to expect. I don't know.
I mean, we're fans. We both are fans of the movies. And I just love the fact that they have no problem just. It cracks me up when people talk about, oh, it's just dumb, unrealistic action, blah, blah, blah. And I remember watching the Lethal Weapon movies and, like, Die Hard. And people talking about how gritty they are. Yeah. Rewatch those movies. Like, Lethal Weapon, you know, you got Riggs running down Oldsmobiles on foot in a highway with machine guns. And, you know, Danny Glover, like, what, his late 40s, as this cop out retired with a six-pack, like, as an action star. And they're doing this ridiculous stuff. And I, just because they had CGI, they didn't make it all that realistic either. You know, people tend to think, like, you know, the Schwarzenegger, Stallone movies was like that dumb stuff. No. Everybody was doing that stuff. You just didn't have the technology to look at it. And I never felt like I had to turn my brain off watching, you know, Die Hard, John McClane running around with a white beat and glass in his feet.
Yeah.
You know, fighting helicopters and German terrorists with no problem. Oh, well, he got a ball spot that makes it realistic. Like, no, come on now. So I never had, you know, these movies, they know exactly what they're doing. And it's kind of like, we know what the fans like. We give it to them, and it works, and like the demographics work. Like they had to break down by, you know, demographics. It was 51% male, so it was almost even split, male female. It was like more than half were over the age of 25, 37% Hispanic, 25% white, 24% black, 10% Asian. You don't get movies that have that breakdown like that, where it's like it hits everybody. And that's, they made a big deal about Fast and Furious where it's this multi-ethnic cast and they never make a big deal about it. They never have. It's just natural. You know, you got whatever Vin Diesel is, hanging with The Rock, with Tyrese and Ludacris, Michelle Rodriguez, with whatever Jordana Bruce is. Like, Paul Walker always stood out because he was like the one, you know, white bread actor around all this color, but it was never this whole, you know, he a fish out of water, and they never made, like, you know, corny white boy jokes. It was just, this is how the universe is, and no problem.
Yeah, and like even when Han was around, there were no, like, I don't know, Asian jokes, whatever you want to say. There's none of that stuff. No, yeah, they never play up. It was never even mentioned, which I don't know if that's realistic or not, but at the same time,
If you guys, you're all doing the whole rape, you know, the whole typical car culture, it's kind of like, you know, you all doing the same thing. You don't really pay attention to that, Mike. You just used to it.
Yeah.
And like, I look at it, this little side note, when I drive home, I see kids playing. And like, neighbors, it's like white kids, black kids, and Latin kids. And they just playing basketball. And they probably don't think any different. Like, I know I don't look like you, but so what? I don't know all the other baggage and stuff. We doing the same thing, we're having fun. Who cares? And that's kind of how the movies play. Like when Fast 6 happened and Han was fighting the guy from the raid, he didn't know, you know, he wasn't no martial arts expert because he was Asian. He was throwing these ugly ass punches to get his ass beat. They didn't play it off like he was like, you know, some ninja just because he was from, you know, he was Asian. Like he knew how to fight. No, he was just like this cool dude that knew what he knew and knew his limitations.
And that's a good way to end it. Really, I mean, that's just the movie in a way has no limitations. It does whatever it wants, and it's gotten its audience to just accept it and go for the ride. No pun intended on that one. And it's refreshing. It's not forcing you to do anything. It's not forcing you to think whatever else. It's not forcing you to judge anybody too, which is really funny because they were criminals for most of the movies. I mean, They stole money from a bank.
Okay, but that was drug dealer money. No, that wasn't from a bank. That was from the police station.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. Never mind.
So, all right. Corrupt drug money and destroyed, you know, one of the biggest cities in the world, downtown, doing it.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, totally worth it.
All right, let's get out of here. We've been talking for a long time, so. Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully people who saw this movie will enjoy it. And if you didn't, though, I hope you didn't listen because it's going to ruin your movie experience. So I'm going to get out of here. Follow us on Stunt Granny on all social media. Same thing. for podcasts, the same stuff. So we'll get at you next week, guys. Thanks for listening.
All right. For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi. And remember, I don't have friends. I have family. We're out.
God.